we as the sons and daughters of Jacob are prohibited from building an altar that expresses aloneness and are called instead to create a sacred site that sublimely symbolizes covenantal connection. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 141, Matseva. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is one of the emotionally resonant Jewish traditions of today, made famous by the conclusion of the film Schindler's List. Upon visiting a grave, many take stones from the ground and place it upon the larger stone marking the grave itself. And yet, this now ubiquitous tradition is without any obvious source. But perhaps, if we pay close attention to parlance and to text, we can decipher the meaning of this minhag, the sublime symbolism of this tradition, if we delve into our mitzvah for the day. Let us look at a commandment whose scope is not entirely clear, at least initially. This is Deuteronomy 17:22. V'lo takim lecha matzeva asher saneh Hashem Elokecha. You shall not establish for yourself a matzeva which the Lord your God despises. A matzeva, the commentators explain, is a stone pillar erected as an altar. Altars, the rabbis explain, must be made of many stones taken from the ground, not a large single one. The difficulty with the prohibition of establishing a matzeva is that this apparently is exactly what Jacob did as he fled from home, escaping the wrath of his brother Esau. After experiencing a mystical vision during the night, Jacob, we are informed, took one of the stones from the ground, vayasem ota matzeva, and set it up as a matzeva, vayitzok shemen al rosha, and sanctified it by pouring oil upon it. If the erection of a single stone as a cultic site is despised by God, how can our ancestor Jacob engage in such an action? It is for this reason that some, such as Ibn Ezra, insist that it is only an idolatrous matzeva that is banned here. But this too is difficult, for do we truly need a verse to tell us that it is prohibited to establish an idolatrous altar? Rather, according to most rabbis, it is in fact the singularity and simplicity of the site, the fact that it is one stone and one stone alone, that is actually prohibited. The explanation, perhaps, can be found in a biblical tale involving an altar. When Elijah on Mount Carmel erects an altar of 12 stones, kimispar shiftei Yisrael, in accordance with the number of the 12 tribes of Israel. An Israelite altar, in other words, is constructed of many stones in order to remind us, each one of us, that we are each part of something larger than ourselves, and that we build on the foundation stones of those that have come before. Jacob, known as the Even Yisrael, the foundation stone of Israel, could erect a matzeva on his own because he was the foundation of the family that would be. We, in turn, however, are prohibited from creating a cultic expression with a single stone because that is an embodiment of atomistic existence. One thinks, in this case, of the well-known Simon and Garfunkel song describing existential aloneness. I am a rock. I am an island. But of course, in the words of the poet, in truth, no man is an island, and therefore, no man or woman is alone, rock or stone. We, as the sons and daughters of Jacob, are prohibited from building an altar that expresses aloneness and are called instead to create a sacred site that sublimely symbolizes covenantal connection. Many stones, each built on each other, each supporting the other. It is with this in mind that we can perhaps understand the development of the tradition to place a stone on the grave of one to whom we are connected. Fascinatingly, in standard Jewish parlance, a gravestone is called matzeva, the very word utilized by the Torah, for what we are not supposed to create. But of course, the gravestone is not a sacrificial site. And what we are expressing by placing stones upon it is that this is not the prohibited matzeva of scriptural yore, and that in visiting a loved one, we are inspired with the reverential realization that we are here because of those that have come before, because of their sacrifices. And in placing stones from the ground upon the grave, we make manifest our intention to build on those who have come before. Indeed, the very words in Hebrew for sons and daughters, banim and banot, are linked to the infinitive to build, livnot, as well as the very term for stones, avanim. One very famous poetic description of a Jewish graveyard was given to us by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in a poem that I have previously referenced in a different context. Longfellow came upon a Jewish graveyard in which many of those buried there were Spanish and Portuguese Jews who had a tradition of placing the stones in a horizontal fashion. He reflects on this and writes, "How strange it seems, these Hebrews in their graves, close by the street of this fair seaport town, silent beside the never-silent waves, at rest in all this moving up and down. The trees are white with dust that o'er their sleep wave their broad curtains in the south wind's breath, while underneath these leafy tents they keep the long mysterious exodus of death." And then, pondering the horizontal nature of the gravestones, Longfellow writes, "And these sepulchral stones, so old and brown, that pave with level flags their burial place, seem like the tablets of the law thrown down and broken by Moses at the mountain's base." So Longfellow reflects because, of course, he cannot really read the Hebrew, but he sees the markings and he wonders, why are the stones lying on the ground? It is a striking tradition, especially if you are not used to it and you come upon such a cemetery. But the point, perhaps, is that these Sephardic Jews placed the stones in a horizontal way in order to express how they saw themselves, foundations, bases, a base, a stepping stone for those that will come after them. Longfellow, noting the striking Sephardic nature of their appellations, further writes, "The very names recorded here are strange, a foreign accent and of different climes, Alvarez and Rivera interchange with Abraham and Jacob of old times." The point, however, is profound, unrecognized by Longfellow himself. Their last names, Alvarez and Rivera, describe the history of exile and persecution, of Spain and Portugal, of preserving their identity as crypto-Jews, until a generation where they openly embraced the faith of their fathers. But their Hebrew names, Abraham and Jacob, describe the foundation stones of the past, expressing how every one of us as Jews exists because of those that have come before, those that have built before. The matzevas of the biblical age, the matzevas of atomistic existence, are forbidden. The matzevas, the gravestones of today, are utilized in glorious tradition to remind us of those who have sacrificed for us and the debt we have to them, obligating us to build on what has come before. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.